welcome to this God-inspired message from Shofar Christian Church. We trust that you will enjoy today's message and that it will encourage you to grow deeper in your relationship with Christ our Savior.
Well, good evening, everybody. It's nice to see you. And is love in the air or is it not? Is there a little bit of tension? A little bit of anticipation? Who of you feel butterflies? Anybody feel butterflies? Who of you feel like you're not in love but you want to be in love? Yeah. Some of you have got that butterfly. Some of you wish you had a butterfly in the tummy. Okay. As Philip said, a little bit more about myself. For those who don't know me, I'm from Standerton. My wife and I have been married for 11 years, 8 months, 21 days, and 2 hours. I'm not going to tell you why I know that so easily. It's a secret. Anyway. We've got 5 kids, beautiful kids, 3 boys, 2 girls. Love them very much. And, you know, as Pastor Philip has been saying last night, I didn't hear the message, but I know what he spoke about. God is into relationships. God is also into the fruit of relationship, and that's children. And when I was your age, before I met my wife, I was praying and God spoke to me, gave me 5 names of my children one day. 3 boys. 2 girls, and that's exactly what we have. God is in it. And if you partner with God, you're going to find the right person, and you're going to have exactly the right number of children that God has planned for you. A wonderful family, and I trust that you will live happily ever after. Amen. I want to say to you, just as an introduction, that life gets better. Marriage gets better. Romance gets better. There are a few secrets, and I want to encourage you to get the CDs of previous years and listen to everything. Get as much as you can get in. When I was at university, I went to every relationship, weekend camp, seminar, marriage enrichment, how to find your partner, couples counseling. I would be sitting in couples counseling, and I would be the only single guy. And then there would be about 50 people sitting in a massive big circle, and there would be one open chair in the whole circle, and that's next to me. And Pastor Freddie was speaking, sat next on the other side of the open chair. So everybody's looking at him speaking, and then they look at the empty chair, and they look at me. And they said, well, this guy's got faith, and I did have faith. And God honors faith. And God honors us when we prepare ourselves. And I want to tell you, you can never be prepared enough for relationships, for marriage. You can never hear enough. Get as much as you can. I am today so thankful for every single thing that I have received from those who've been teaching before me. Get everything that you can get. Amen. Okay. My topic for tonight is Hurry Up Slowly. And I want to start with 2 video clips. The one is about a couple that's about to get engaged. And the other one is about a couple that's going on a blind date. The girl is used to blind dates. The guy is not so used. It's his first time that he's going on a blind date. Many of you may have seen it, but I want you to see it anyway again. Thank you. Okay, I think you get the point. Timing is everything. And bad timing can really do you in. Okay, I think that guy, can we have the lights on again? Thanks. The guy that was about to get engaged was sort of sorry that he got the timing wrong. You know, maybe he would have changed his mind. Not that that's our motivation to marry for money, but the point is that he got his timing wrong. And that girl, I mean, really, girls, how would you feel if you were in that position? You would be pretty embarrassed, eh? Getting your timing wrong. Now, the point for me is that in relationships, if we get our timing wrong, we can make a real mess of things. You can be embarrassed, you can be hurt, you can be disappointed. I think that guy that did not propose to the girl was disappointed afterwards, for the wrong reasons, but still, there was disappointment. There is a time and a place for everything. And you need to understand the time that you're in, the season that you are in, and act accordingly. Because if you're going to act outside of the time and the season that you're in, you're about to mess things up. You're about to hurt somebody else, or you're going to get hurt yourself, or there's going to be some kind of damage. All of us need to know when the time is right. Ecclesiastes 3 verse 1 says, "For everything there is a season and a time for every matter under heaven." I want to talk about the first part. Let's skip school and primary school and preschool. And I'm going to start to where you're at. That's after school. There's a time to be single. And during that time, it is also your time to grow in God. Because the foundation for every relationship and eventually marriage is God. If God is not your foundation, you are building on sand. You're going to need God in your relationship. You're going to need God in your marriage. And He must be the anchor. He must be the foundation. And guys and girls, if the person you're looking at does not know Jesus, do not even think any further. It's not negotiable. It's not something that you even think about. If God is not your anchor of yourself and your partner or the person that you wanting to get to know better, forget about it. There's been other messages about that, so I'm not going to be focusing too much on that. There are a few things I want us to look at in terms of our timing during this season. Are you ready for a relationship or not? The first thing is age. Now, I think most of you would be at the age where you are just about ready. But for the record, I want to share with you just simple things. Going a bit back to high school. Many young people in high school start in relationships. And I want to tell you tonight that if your age is not right, if you're not in that season, you're just messing about. The chances that people that you're going to fall in love and get married to your high school dating partner or whatever you want to call it, boyfriend, girlfriend, the fact that the chances that you're going to get married is very, very slim. I think 1 in 1,000, 1 in 10,000, if not less than that. In other words, when you are pursuing a guy or a girl, when the time is not right, when the age is not right, for example, at high school, you're actually just self-indulging. You're just doing it for the fun, for the kicks you can get out of it, for the whatever else you might get out of it, especially the guys, because it's not real. The fact is, if you're going out with somebody and you're 15 years old, the chances that you're actually going to get married to that person is very slim to almost nil. That means you're just hurting each other, you're just using each other and messing around. Simply put, the time is not right. Okay. When is the time right? Well, 100 years ago, about 13, 14 years old for a girl was just about right. 16 years old for a guy was just about right. Your great, 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 great grandpa got married at about 16 and your grandma, his wife, at about 14. Times have changed because of this. The way that we are studying, our education system, and now you get a degree. By the time you finish, you're 22, and now you're ready to start life. And that's just your basic degree. Now it's getting worse. Now you've got to do an honors, you've got to do a master's, some people do a PhD, and only then do they come to the place where they're ready to now get married and to start a life with somebody else. So because of the world system, that age has been postponed, and it's made it difficult for us to hold out on our sexual temptations, on our desires. And again, we've shared about that in the past, how to handle those things. But I want you to know that you are able. You are well able to overcome. Second thing I want to talk about is your ability to get married. Okay, in other words, are you actually at the point in your life where you can get married? I ask the high school kids always, I ask them, listen, are you ready to get married? You like this girl? Can you get married to her? Are you ready? Sometimes we see parents, and especially dads, you know, if you go to him and you ask for his daughter's hand in marriage, and he would say to you, Buti, verdien jy al geld? Kan jy vir haar sorg? Can you look after her? This is my baby. What job are you doing? What car are you driving? And where are you staying? Now, I'm a dad and I've got two girls, and I must tell you that when my first girl got born, well, she's also our firstborn, she was just born, I took this finger, the ring finger, and I said, my skatlam, papa gaan mooi kyk oor hierdie vinger. Are you ready? Are you able? That's just two signs of looking at it. And I want to, at this point, just let you know that sometimes people around us might think we're not ready. I've seen couples get married at 20, 22, and they've been very blessed. I've seen people get married when they haven't had all the finances in place, and they've been very blessed. In other words, you need to listen to the Holy Spirit, and you need to have a plan. A plan of action. When Christelle and I wanted to get married, we went to speak to our parents, and especially to Christelle's parents, and her parents asked us to actually postpone the wedding because they were going through a time of financial difficulty. My parents, the same. So there was no money for a wedding. However, we just felt that this is the time. We must get married, and we went by faith. We said, we're going to trust God for a dream wedding. We know that He is able to provide. I did my internship here in Stellenbosch. I was living on about 400 rand a month, living in a small little upper room where you couldn't stand up, and it had like a sideways slope in the roof, and you had to climb in like this and sleep on the mattress. Christelle just finished her studies when I asked her parents. So we didn't have financial stability. We didn't have careers going. We didn't have job offers in place. We didn't have signed contracts or anything. But I knew that we were on a course. I knew that the path that I was about to take upon, to embark on. We were about to go plant a church in London. Eventually we ended up in Franschhoek. But we knew that this was the time. Had we postponed, I tell you, we probably wouldn't have been married even up till today. Because the finances never came in as expected. From our family side. But God provided. God provided every cent. We had a dream, a wedding on Millennium Day. That's how I know how long we've been married. 1st of January 2000. Very easy to work out. Fantastic, awesome thing. And everything was paid up cash in front before the wedding took place. God was in it from the beginning. And we sensed in our hearts that this is the time. We knew that God was saying to us, now is it. Okay. During this time that you are single and growing in God, it's also your time to establish God as your first love. Because oftentimes we are born again, we love God, but God is competing with certain things in your life. We have idols in our lives. And an idol is not necessarily some demon or a Buddha statue or something. An idol is anything that you love more than God, that your focus is on more than on God. And very often, a boyfriend or a girlfriend takes that position. That boyfriend and that girlfriend becomes the idol in your life. When Christelle and I were going out, we realized that at one point in time that we were idolizing each other. That Christelle was the most important in my life and I was the most important in her life. And so I felt God speaking to me and saying, listen, you've got to break up with her. And I told her why. And she said, okay, I feel the same. And so we did. We broke up for about 2 days and then God said, okay, let's. That's it. Don't worry. You know, it's like, just like God saying to Abraham, go offer Isaac up. And as soon as he was about to kill him, God said, wait, stop. Don't kill the son of promise. Don't kill the woman of promise. Don't kill the man of promise. Don't kill the marriage of promise. But we've got to come to the place where we lay it on the altar. And it's during that season of being single that we need to offer up our Isaacs in our heart. That includes your desire for a husband, your desire for a wife, your desire to be sexually satisfied, to be romantically satisfied, to be emotionally satisfied. All of those desires which are real and legitimate, because Isaac was legitimate. Isaac was the promise. But God said, I want to be first in your life. I want to test you whether you are able and willing to give up your Isaac. And as soon as you say, I do, then he says, keep Isaac. But there's a catch. If you pretend and you're going along and you're sort of hoping in the back of your mind, okay, I know God's just going to cut it short. He's going to stop me. You've got to go all the way. Sometimes we play with God. We pretend that we are offering up our Isaac and we're thinking, ach no man, he'll save the day. And we make a half a commitment. But we've got to come to the place of putting Jesus first. Nothing else. Well, you don't think about a boyfriend, a girlfriend, a wife, or a husband. Well, it's just you and Jesus. Not just juice, just Jesus. And when you come to a place where you are satisfied with Jesus, where you are content with just Jesus, when you are excited about just having Jesus, where you actually almost come to a place where your desire for something else or anything else goes out the window because Jesus is your first love and you need the first love of Christ before you can enter into a love relationship with a man or a woman. Because the greatest love of all is the love of Christ. The greatest director of love is Jesus Christ. And if you want to have a wonderful, incredible marriage, you need to make sure that the number one seat is occupied by Christ. Not you, not your girlfriend, not your boyfriend. Which is why we cannot even look at those who are not born again as well. Then get your focus right during that season. Because sometimes it happens that we become desperate, and this is sort of touching on what I've just already shared with you. I've noticed girls that desperate girls get rejected more than girls that are not desperate. Anybody else notice that? Okay, so you know what I'm talking about. Guys, can you see when a girl is desperate? Yes, you can. Girls, that's the bad news. We can see. And we know. And either the guy's going to be an opportunist and he's going to abuse you, or he's going to reject you. I tell you, most guys actually run away from girls that are desperate because most desperate girls are just shouting one word, commitment, commitment, commitment. I'm going to get after you. I'm going to get after you. And then the guys are thinking, no, just want to run away. Think of how I fuck. and I'm never going to get loose. He might be Mr. Right, but you're going to chase away Mr. Right if you're going to be desperate. Guys, I think it's pretty much the same. If you're going to be desperate, the same thing. Girls are going to see it. I'm not a girl, but I think the girls can see it. Girls, can you see it? Yes, you can. So in other words, we need to come to a place where we take away our desperation, get our focus right. What must our focus be? Give your desire to God. Again, your Isaac. You say, Lord, this is my Isaac. I give it unto you. When the time is right, I know that you will bring, like Isaac found his wife, you will bring Rebecca to me. When the season is right, when the time is right, God will bring it all together. What I've noticed through many years of observation is girls, I've watched desperate girls. And I've noticed a pattern. That they are desperate and desperate and desperate, and they get rejected and rejected and rejected, and they cry and they cry and they cry, and then they come to a point where they say, this is a hopeless case, and they say, I'm going to chuck all guys, I don't want to talk to a guy, I don't want to see a guy, it's just Jesus. And once those words comes out, just Jesus, and there's suddenly the desperation goes out the window, and there's sort of an unavailability written over her forehead and over her heart. Because it's just Jesus. Just Jesus. I'm not going to look at the guys. And once a girl ignores a guy, it really gets his attention. Nothing gets a guy's attention more than a girl that ignores him. A girl that doesn't need him, that's not running after him. When she's unreachable, when she's unattainable, you see, we are like the young lions. We need to catch our prey. We wanna go for the girl that's, because the one that's the most unavailable is like the biggest prize. And the young lions are roaring inside. I want the biggest and the best prize I can get. So I'm gonna go for the one that's the most unavailable. And you know what I've noticed? Is those desperate girls that become the most unavailable becomes the most attractive and the most pursued. Then they have to get a flea pluck and they just have to smack the guys away for a time and a season. Girls, get your focus right. Guys, the same. Get your focus right. Focus on Christ. Focus on God. Forget about the other things, and you will see things will fall into place much quicker than you think. The sooner you get your focus right, the sooner you're going to see a solution. That's the catch-22. The longer you're trying in your own strength, the longer you're pursuing in your own strength, and with your desires and your passions and your whatever, the longer you're going to wait. The sooner you give it up, the sooner you put your focus on Jesus, the sooner you're going to come to the place of readiness. So, if we think of bees and birds, if you're a girl, you're going to hear the bees come. Bzzz. They will be around. You'll hear the buzzing once you get your focus right. Now, the second season I want to talk about. The first one was the time of being single and growing in God. The second one is the time to find a wife or a husband. Many of you, if not most of you, no, I'm lying. I can't say that. Not most of you. But some of you and many of you are already in that season. Some of you are in the single season and finding God. Do what you need to do. We get to the second one. The time to find a wife or a husband. Now, I want to talk about flowers, and I've mentioned this in some of my previous sessions, but I want to build on it tonight. But Rose looked better in Standerton about 3 hours ago. The road, yeah, didn't do it justice. But this represents
ago.
Let me do this. Okay, that looks better. Now, girls and guys, none of you knew this, but according to me, every girl has a flower in her heart. And that represents who she is. Now, will you smell this quickly and tell me what it smells like?
Nothing much.
Let's try somebody else. Does it smell like a rose?
It smells like a rose.
Okay. Is it closed? More or less, hey? What does it feel like?
It's gentle. It's soft.
This rose looks like a rose. It smells like a rose. It's beautiful. It was 3 hours ago. And it's soft. It's not hard. It doesn't have electric fences around it. It doesn't have burglar bars. It doesn't have steel or fire or whatever around it. It's soft and gentle. But it is closed. And so with every girl, you carry this from the time that you're born. You're carrying this closed rose. It's beautiful. It's got all the potential. It is a rose. It smells like one. It's soft and gentle. But it's closed. And then there comes a time in every girl's life that the rose opens. And all of a sudden, the rose is more available. You see, with the closed rose, the bees cannot come close. And there's nothing to find, even if they do try to break in somehow. But there comes a time at every girl's life when her flower opens, the flower of her heart. And that would be the season for the bees to come. And this I have noticed too. And I have been able to see when a girl's flower opens up. It's the most beautiful thing to see. When a girl's flower opens, it's like her whole countenance changes and the bees just come by in a tens. I mean, it's incredible when that happens. But girls, I want to tell you, God, the flower of your heart. And guys, don't mess with this flower. Because the more you mess with this flower, the more that you damage it, the more you ruin yourself. Because this rose is your gift. Look after it, nurture it, protect it, and you'll be blessed. Very, very blessed. I'll get back to that a little bit later. So, when girls, when your flower opens, do not give yourself to the first bee that comes along. Sometimes you've been waiting so long and you were desperate and then you became undesperate and then you became pursued and then the first guy comes along and you think, oh, this is him. Ooh, somebody likes me. I'm wanted. This is him, the guy. He smiled at me. And I've seen many girls fall into this trap because they don't realize that when their flower opens, many bees will come. So girls, you got to understand, you got to pick one of the bees. There may be many. Sometimes you're not going to know all of them. Maybe they're too shy or whatever. It's real. I want to give you a picture of somebody that I thought was sort of in this season, or is the picture. There we go. Anybody recognize that face? Okay. Can you see her eyes? It's twinkling. And it's just, wow, she's just blossoming. She's just blue, in full bloom. And she's just saying, oh, wow. And let's go to another picture, the next one. There we go. Look on the left-hand side. The look in her eyes is that confident quietness, just walking gracefully and, you know, smell me, look at me, appreciate me. I'm the beautiful rose that have opened up. Thank you. I think you can take them away for now. Girls, I want you to, when you come into that season, when your flower opens, be free to blossom. Sometimes it happens that a girl loses her confidence because of things said, things done, disappointments, rejection, and so forth. But when your flower opens up, bloom with pride, bloom with confidence. Have the freedom to be yourself, to just go for it and enjoy that moment, because it's a season that is glorious. It's your season to shine. It's your season to be noticed. It's your hour in the sun when all attention and focus is going to be on you. And even the girls around you are going to be talking about you and how the guys are pursuing you. And maybe there might be some jealousy. And then, because girls can be nasty, can't they? And they can be jealous too. Don't allow those things to affect you. When it's your time to bloom, it's your time to bloom. And God is the one that determines the seasons of your heart. And when God says, I'm going to make my sun shine on your flower so that it will open up, then you say, hallelujah. And you go for it. Just be yourself. Be free to be magnificent. Be free to be glorious in the eyes of God and be glorious to behold. Be free to float like a queen or a princess. If we look at those photographs of Pippa, you can see she's just walking graciously, and there's sort of an air about her. But have you noticed this with girls? Guys, do you know what I'm talking about? When a girl's flower opens up, and the way she just walks is just beautiful. Everything about her is just beautiful. The way she carries herself and smiles, and there's a look in the eye, and especially the twinkle in the eye. Be free to float like a queen or a princess. Be careful, on the other hand, not to reveal too much or be flirty. Because sometimes when you see the guys and the bees are coming, and their attention is all there, then we think, oh, they like me, and they like my... Because at that time, a woman's sensuality is also shown to some extent. Therefore, we need to approach it with carefulness, in that we don't over-reveal ourselves, that we don't make the mistake that Pippa made. You see, Pippa, you can see at that wedding, man, it was glorious. It was wonderful. It was amazing. But shortly after that, there's stories in almost all the People magazines and that kind of stuff of half-naked photographs and flirting photographs and heart partying. And it's as if Pippa just cheapened herself. She just gave too much. She thought that's... This is my season. This is my time in the sun. And she gave too much. Girls, be careful of that. Don't reveal too much. Don't give too much. Don't overexpose yourself and don't cheapen yourself. Bees, the guys, when you hunt and you're looking for flowers that are open, I want to tell you, open your eyes. Okay? And then open the eyes of your heart. There's an ad I wanted to show you. I couldn't find it on YouTube, but I'll tell you about it. Many of you will recognize it as I'm telling the story. The television ad starts with this little boy that's walking, and there's a girl, and she's got braces and ugly teeth and freckles and glasses and biki dova dola, not biki dova dola, kuksisterare. You know, she looks like the ugly duckling. Okay, little girl, you know. And then there's a lot of boys, a whole bunch of boys that's teasing her and pulling her hair and, you know, kicking her suitcase and, you know,
giving her trouble. And then this small boy, the smallest of all the boys, comes there and he goes and he fights with him. And they beat him up solidly. And you know, he's got a tooth that's loose and his hair is all diamakar and his shirt is ripped off. And he walks away there hand in hand with a girl and he's smiling. He's just got the hiding of his life, but he's smiling. And then he walks her home safely, well, safely. And it comes to the front door, and then mommy opens the door, and mommy. Woo! She is a hot mommy. The most beautiful legs, the most beautiful face, the most beautiful hair. Man, I tell you, she would be Miss Mommy. And then the whole, I can't remember what the product is, but the whole point is we see potential. Long-term potential. So now that little boy was looking at that mommy and he was seeing this girl and he saw that, he saw through the braces, he saw through the koeksister hare, he saw through all of that and the glasses and he just saw that mommy. And he knew, this is a good investment. It's worth losing a couple of teeth because if I win her heart now, boy, when the time comes that her flower opens, I'm going to be first in line. Then all those other bullies, she's going to say, I don't want you. I want this guy that stood up for me when my flower was closed. So guys, the secret is in looking at the rose that is closed and seeing in it the rose that is opened. Open your eyes. Don't be stupid. I want to tell you another secret, guys. Contrary to belief, girls get more beautiful. You see, I've noticed another thing. And that is, when I was at university, I was in Stellenbosch, and there was something which was called the first-year syndrome. And during that first year, the girls pick up about an average of about 15 kilograms. And we all were told of this thing when we started at first year, and I thought, ach, this is all nonsense, man. And then came the third term. That's the first term after winter. And when the summer clothes comes out, and then my jaw dropped. Because I could not believe that these girls were the same girls at Carnaval. You see, at Carnaval, they were these bikinis and sexy girl keys. And then suddenly you could see, but man, there's a few rolls here and there. There's dimples on the cheeks. I tell you, it was just shocking. I couldn't believe it. I thought, this can't be real. And then later on, things started to change. I want to talk about this rose again. Sometimes it happens that a girl does not really believe in herself, does not feel pretty, does not feel worthy, has had bad experiences, many hurts, many rejections, many negative comments from boys and girls. And they don't feel pretty. They don't feel like a queen or a princess. And it's also not their season. Many times, girls are confident and happy, but happy in ignorance of guys. I don't care about guys. And so in this season, it happens very often that girls don't really pay attention to themselves. They don't really focus that much on fashion and, you know, the makeup and the hair and staying in weight and whatever. And so very often it happens that a guy would look at a girl and she's in this closed up state, and she's about 15 kilograms overweight. Her hair does not look incredibly stunning. It looks like she just didn't shower this morning and just quickly made it up because she was late for the 8 o'clock class. And when I met Christelle, she also suffered from the first year syndrome. And that's a secret between us. And then after we were already very strong in our relationship, I looked through a photo album when she was doing au pair in Germany. And I had the fright of my life. Because in Germany, that was before she was born again, she used to drink quite a lot of beers, and the Germans drink beer like you won't believe it. So she had about easily at least a liter of beer per day, sometimes more. And so, man, she didn't have 15 kilograms. I tell you, it was way more. I saw her legs was like this thick. Luckily, I didn't meet her at that time. But I tell you, if I did, I would have missed her. I'm just being honest. And I hope this is going to help you. You see, my wife gets more beautiful every day. My wife got rid of the first year syndrome. She started to give attention to her hair and to makeup and to how she's dressing. And that was just the external part. In the internal part, her eyes were twinkling. There was a smile. There was a glitter about her. There was an air about her. There was this incredible beauty radiating out of her. And that beauty is growing every day. Every single day. I am more in love with my wife now than ever before. She's more beautiful to me now than ever before. She's more sexy today than ever before. Why? Because I know how to look after roses. You see, guys, you need to really pay attention. You're going to thank me 15 years from now. When you look after the rose in a girl's heart, she's going to become more beautiful. You are the gardener of her heart. You can destroy her garden and her rose, or you can make it beautiful. You can put fertilizer on there. You can put water on there. But if you lift her up, if you esteem her, if you value her, if you honor her, if you bring dignity to her, if you say to her, I love you and I appreciate you and you're amazing, you're special. Guys, you've got no idea what that does to a girl's heart. And especially more so if they know that you're not flirting with them. When they know that this is really from the heart. If there's fake, and girls can see fake. And their roses don't look any better from fake. But once a girl knows that, man, there's a guy and he really likes me. And he loves me. And he cares about me. And he sees my inner beauty. You know what happens? What he sees inside of her starts to manifest on the outside. And all of a sudden you see suddenly she's paying attention to her hair. Suddenly she's paying attention to her makeup. Suddenly she's in the gym. Suddenly, she doesn't eat so many chocolates. Christelle still eats about a chocolate a day. I don't know how she manages that. But still, there's something to live for. There's something to be gained. So guys, look after her heart. And you will see a magnificent difference. At the same time, I want to say to you, be a gentleman, not an opportunist. Because when this, you can destroy a flower, especially if it's not yours. And what you sow is what you will reap. If you're going to destroy another man's rose, it's going to happen to you as well. Sometimes it happens that we squash and we bruise roses by what we say, by what we do, And sometimes we take this rose and we trample it underfoot by what we say and by what we do. And then you wonder why she's not happy. You wonder why she's not blossoming. Why she's not incredibly beautiful. I want to tell you, however, that God can pick up a broken rose. And He can make it whole again. And He can make it more beautiful than ever before. The scripture says in Luke chapter 4 verse 18, Jesus speaks, He's quoting Isaiah 61. Prophesied about Him. He says, I've been anointed to preach the gospel of good news, to heal the brokenhearted, to bring deliverance to the captives. In other words, God is the healer, and He wants to bring healing. He wants to bring restoration. And guys, if you're serious with God, and you ask Him to help you to bring healing, He will. He will anoint you to do that. Girls, the same. If your heart is broken, and if your flower looks like this, I want you to know that God can make you more beautiful than ever before. Truly. I messed up. I broke Christelle's heart before we got married. I did. We broke up for real. She said to me at some point she doesn't want to see me again. She doesn't want to talk to me. It's too hurtful. It's too painful to see me. So for 3 months we didn't speak, didn't see each other. And after 3 months, two of my friends came to me separately and so they said to me, they heard that Christelle said that she doesn't feel anything for me anymore. She doesn't know why she ever fell in love with me. I'm completely out of her heart. She's so over me, it's not real. And she can't believe that she was so stupid to ever think about me. Man, now, I've been interested in girls before that and I've been rejected before that, but this time, my heart was torn apart. For the first time in my life, my heart was torn apart. And I realized, wow, this is actually really the girl. I can't live without her. And so I had to make a comeback. I wrote her a little card. She likes cards. And as I wrote it, I knew that she's not going to say yes. She's going to say no. So 2 days later, I got a very nice card that said no. With different words, but that's the bottom line. Then I wrote her a 14-page letter, A4, handwritten, double-sided. And I told her how I used to feel and why I'm not feeling like that anymore and how she used to feel and why she shouldn't feel that way and how she should feel and, you know. And I put that letter in my back pocket, you know, just folded it as much as I could. And took her out to a restaurant, finally managed to get her there. And spoke to her, told her everything that's in the 14-page letter. And I knew as I wrote the letter, and I knew as I spoke to her that she was going to say no. In that letter, I spoke to her and I said to her that I was like a big tree in her heart. And she could sit under the shade and she could eat from the fruit. And it was a wonderful, beautiful tree, life-giving tree. But suddenly the tree became poisonous. It produced gif appeltjies. And so the more she ate of that tree, the more her heart started to die. And she started to die. And I understand that she had to pull this tree out, roots and all. I said, I understand that. I'm sorry, and I understand it. But I want to tell you that one little seed remained. I should have brought that with. Because I got a little seed, a red seed. And I put it in a glass box. On top of it, it said, I love you with a heart. I found it. I couldn't believe it. Something like the crazy store or somewhere. I don't know where I found it. But I found exactly what I was looking for. And I said to her, because I first wrote the letter and then I found the box. I said to her, our love is like that little seed. Just one little seed of that tree has been left. And it's in a glass box. I can't make it grow. You can't make it grow. Only God can make it grow. But you've got the key. Christelle's got the key. And I'm not asking you to trust me, to believe in me, to love me, to fall in love with me, to even like me. I'm asking one thing of you. Give the key to God. Open it. If it's of God, it will grow. If it's not of God, it will not grow. I tell you, between the love that I and Christelle shared, truly there was only that one little seed left. And some days later, because he didn't answer me, and that was no. And then some days later, she walked around the hostel 3 times, psyching herself up to say no finally, get me off her back. And when she sat down in my chair there in my little room, she said, "Yeah, that's for pain, that's for pain, that's for pain." Guys, by the way, let this work. Because afterwards she read that letter about 50 times. And it helped her to come to a certain understanding. And then I just went on my knee and I said, "My love, that's fine. But I can't let you go out of this room." I took her hands and I looked her in the eye and I said, "I can't let you go out of my room before you've given that key to Jesus. That's all I'm asking." And she sat looking at me in my eyes for about 30 seconds, the longest 30 seconds of my life. And she said, "Okay, shall it for the Here. But I'm not going to cooperate. Ek gaan nie saamwerk nie." But that's all she had to do, to give it to God. And God restored it. And today, our love is greater than ever before. That tree is bigger than ever before. And Christelle's beauty is growing beyond my wildest dreams. God can do anything. Amen? Okay. Then, I want to say to you guys as well, don't be super spiritual. Okay? When the girls flower up, okay, my flower is gone now. But when the girls flower up, don't be super spiritual. And you know, just be so high and mighty in your thinking. And guys and girls, never say to somebody, "God said you're my wife. You're my husband." 2 girls said that to me. Only one was right. But don't get into spiritual manipulation. And don't get into silliness. The Bible says that God puts in us the will and the desire to do His will. In other words, if it is His will that you marry so and so, in your heart will be the desire and the will to do that. In other words, you're going to be going, "Ooh, I want that girl." And it's like you're going to, nothing can stop you from going there. But if you have to sort of like force yourself, "I have to love you because God said so. I have to say you're beautiful because God said so. And I have to buy you roses and chocolates because God said so. And one day we're going to get married because God said so. And I'm going to be stuck with you for the rest of my life." Love is natural. Love is real. There is a spiritual side to it. God does speak to us. He does give us prophetic words. But that prophetic word only confirms what is already in your heart. It only confirms the natural development that is already there. Love is natural. It is real. It is simple. Okay, I'll get back to that a little bit later. Listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit. Then comes a time to be engaged. It's the third season. Now, at this time, you need to be certain in your heart. Not like this guy who messed it up on the video clip. You've got to be certain that this is it. When the guy comes with that question, you've got to be ready for it. When vice versa. And I'm just going to give you a few quick tips just as a reminder. And you'll probably hear more about similar things on Sunday. Number one, how can you be certain? Number one, are you in love? I've seen couples in the past and they've been super spiritual and they haven't been in love. Are you in love? Number two, do you like each other? Oh yeah, funny girl, man. Number three, do you get on? Kom julle oor die weg? Or do you fight all the time? Fighting and fighting and fighting and fighting from the one fight to the next. Maybe that's not a good sign. Okay? Then number four, is your calling compatible? I didn't say the same, I said compatible. Because remember, what's your primary focus? Jesus Christ. You're married to Jesus Christ first before anything else. You're following Christ before you're following anything else. So in other words, that's the way that you're going to know. One of the key indicators is your callings compatible? Or do you have excitement about each other's calling? Maybe you don't have the understanding about what lies ahead in the future. Maybe you don't see exactly how the puzzle fits together. Maybe you can't work it out. She wants to be this and you want to be that. You don't know how it's going to fit together, but maybe God is in it. I want to tell you something that I shared my calling and the prophecies and the promises that God has given me with quite a number of my friends when I was at university. And then one day I was having coffee with Christelle. We hardly knew each other, didn't know each other all that well. And I shared with her just what my calling is, and she got so excited. Many girls were interested in me at the time. Just by the way, be careful of what happens is when spiritual leaders stand up, guys, then oftentimes it happens that they draw unnecessary attention because people confuse Christ with the person. Okay? I was a spiritual leader, and for that reason, I drew more attention than what I should have. But nevertheless, she was the only one that got excited. They said, wow, that's amazing. She started praying and she was genuinely celebrating with me what God has. And she said, I so want to see this. In other words, there was a spirit witness between the two of us. And we realized that there's something amazing that can come from this. We didn't know it at the time. We didn't say so. But I know, looking back, there were two girls that came to me at different times. And they said to me, you know, Anton, I know more girls that are liking you than I've got fingers on my hands and toes on my feet. And I thought, oh, who are they? Because I didn't know who they were. But I tell you, there was one who was excited about my calling. And she's the one that was willing to walk the road that I'm walking. And you're going to need to know that you can walk the walk with the person you're going to marry. Okay? Then there's got to be the spirit witness. The spirit witness inside, the inner voice that inner calm, that inner knowing. Number 6, accountability. You've got to have accountability partners, people who you trust that you can pray with and say, hey, what do you think about this? When Christelle and I when I really suddenly sensed this is it, before I wrote the card, I went to my council. And so I went to my cell leader, my zone leader. I went to a couple of friends, my whole family, mom, dad, 3 brother and 2 sisters. And I went to Pastor Lucille. Pastor Fred wasn't there. Went to her, and all 8 of them agreed. And they said, this is it. We knew all along. Lucille said, nah, you're so doffen achter die klip, jong. We all knew it all along. But she said, Christelle looks like this. Her heart is broken. And if you're going to manage to patch this flower up, it must be God, because only God's going to put that together. And He did. Hallelujah. But you're going to need people. You're going to need, lastly, your parents. The blessing and the honor of your parents. Maybe they're not born again. Maybe they don't know God, but they do know you. And they've been anointed by God. And then if they object, you need to listen to their objections. Sometimes it happens that they are right, and you need to listen to them. Sometimes it happens that they say no because of spiritual reasons. That can also happen. And then you need you to know that you know that you know that God is saying yes. Only when God says yes can you override your parents. Okay, I thought I'd just throw that in. Just a reminder that it's your choice. You're going to be sleeping with that person for the rest of your life. You're going to wake up next to her every morning and you're going to smell her breath. Okay? It's your choice. Don't let other people talk you into anything. You make your decision. The Bible says everyone must work out his own salvation with fear and trembling. You must make a decision about who you're going to get married to. Nobody else. Not your parents, not your friends, not your pastors. You must make that decision. Okay? Talking about engagement. Make it special. Just a tip, guys. Then, don't make your engagement too long. Because the longer your engagement is, the more temptations come in. At the same time, I want to say to you, don't make your engagement too short. Okay? Because there's a time of preparation. Every season is preparation. Your season of singleness is preparation. Your season of finding the flower is preparation. Once you've found your flower and you've made a kind of a commitment to her, still there's preparation. Not too long, not too short. Okay, then comes the time to be married. Hallelujah. And after that comes the time to have children. With all of that, you need to have God's timing in it. Just talking about children. You're far from that now, but I just want to tell you that you need to pray about the time for children. Pray about your wedding date. Let God help you decide the date. I prayed about ours, and man, could God give me a fantastic date. None of you got a date like that. Sorry to say. Millennium Day only comes around every 1,000 years. The time for children. Christelle and I prayed about children. When we felt this is the time, we would pray together. And we would ask God to bless this child that's going to be conceived. We ask for God's anointing, God's blessing, God's favor, and the Spirit of God to be with us. And I want to tell you that those times were the most blessed and intimate moments that we've had together. Christelle had 7 pregnancies. There were 2 miscarriages. 5 out of the 7 times we knew the exact moment of conception, as the Holy Spirit's presence was just there. Every time when Christelle, we decided this is the time, Christelle felt pregnant the first month. Didn't skip any month. No waiting for a year or two. God is in it. Doesn't mean it's going to be like that for everybody. Sometimes people do wait longer. But give it to God, the time. Okay. Ecclesiastes 9 verse 11. Again I saw that under the sun the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, nor bread to the wise, nor riches to the intelligent, nor favor to those with knowledge, but time and chance happen to them all. That's a different one. Time and chance. In other words, it's a little bit of a flukschwit. Okay, there's a time and an opportunity. There's a season, there's a moment that for great opportunities to be seized. There's another saying that says that the opportunity of a lifetime must be seized in the lifetime of the opportunity. So in other words, there's going to be a time and a season when you've got to be ready and awake to identify the time, to identify the moment when this is the time of connecting. Okay? Know the season that you're in. There's a song that says, seize the day. Man, I like it. When the moment comes, seize that day. Don't let it pass you by. Guys, wees wakker. That's why I'm saying, hurry up, slowly. In other words, word wakker, kom by. There's that Vodacom ad, I can't remember exactly, an old one. But it says, are you something and, or are you dwarf? Can anybody remember that ad? Some guys are a bit dwarf. And tonight I wanted you to wake up so that you can see the time. At the same time, I want to say to you, make sure that you are in the place where you must be. Don't get caught in the wrong relationship when the time of your flowering comes, girls. Because then you're going to miss the right bee at that time. Okay. Don't delay on the one hand and don't pursue something when the time is not right. I want to talk about something else, and that is the trap of temptation. Before I go on, just in summary of what I just said, seize the moment when it comes. The trap of temptation. Song of Solomon, 2 verse 7. I adjure you, O daughters of Jerusalem, by the gazelles or the does of the field, that you do not stir up or awaken love until it pleases. I've spoken about the scripture before, but I want to just bring it in here again. She's talking about love, and she's talking about sexual love. There's many different kinds of love, and this is eros. It's the sexual kind of love. It says, do not stir up love nor awaken love before the time is right. Remember I said there's a time and a place for everything. So what happens is when you are interested in a girl, you think maybe this is the one, maybe it's not the one, but you do like her, and she's kind of sexy, maybe she's very sexy, maybe she's really hot, and she happens to sit next to you in class. And then she sits really nice and tight, you know, and you just feel the warmth of her bum here from the side. You think, whoa, this feels good. And then she just looks over you at you, and then you know, as you're sitting next to her, and your elbows touch, and you think, wow, what a nice touch. And then, you know, there's an interest that's being sparked, and then one spark to the next, and quickly there's a little bit of a fire. And then you're pursuing it, but it's actually sexual desire. It's not yet friendship. It's not love. The key factors that you need in a godly relationship is friendship and love. Sexual desire will be there. Make no mistake. It will be there and it must be there. If it's not there, you've got another kind of problem. But what I've seen, and I want to share this with you almost in closing, is that many times it happens that couples start to become physically involved in the time where they're still checking each other out, still discovering, is this the one for me or not? And then Eros is stirred up and it confuses the heart and it makes you think that this is the one when it's actually not the one. You can miss it by flirting. You can miss it as you're too hard vry, too warm vry. You can really miss it. Be careful. Do not stir up love, nor awaken love before it is time. It's like a green peach. You can press it and press it and press it and press it, and it will become soft, but it will still be a green peach. It's still going to make you sick. And sometimes it happens that we squeeze the peach and we become sick. God is in control. First seek the kingdom of God, and the Bible says, and all these things will be added unto you. And at some point in time, two destinies will cross. Listen carefully now. I know you're getting tired, but listen carefully. If you're going to pursue God, remember what I said at the beginning, you pursue Jesus, your destinies are going to cross at the right time because you are following God and she's following God. And then you're going to go on a Strandinsta outreach. And you're going to become the team leader. And there's going to be a girl with first-year syndrome standing next to you every time you pray in a group in the circle. And you're going to realize, hey, but this feels comfortable. This feels nice. There's another girl on the other side when you're praying, but that doesn't feel quite the same. And then this girl's going to come to you and she's going to say a couple of days before the end, I want to get baptized. And another girl comes and says, I want to get baptized. And then on the 31st of December, 6 o'clock in the morning on the beach at Unris, there stands two girls. You've got to baptize one of them first. And that will be the first person that you baptize ever. And then there's just that sense, I've got to pick this one first. Somehow it's going to be significant later. So Christelle is the first person that I ever baptized. And we hardly knew each other for 2 weeks. We met each other just before the team, before the outreach. Didn't know anything about ourselves, about each other. But our paths crossed because she was following Jesus and that's how she went on that outreach. I was following Jesus and that's how I was there on the same thing. And at that point, God made us cross and he made her stand next to me. Every time we prayed. And he gave in me that spirit witness to know that's the girl you must baptize first. Today I'm so thankful for that. It's just special. Doesn't have to be like that for everybody, but it was special. God is in control. Genesis 22 verse 1. After these things, God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, here I am. He said, take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him and his son Isaac. And he cut the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. On the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place from afar. We know the rest of the story, that he made that sacrifice. He was about to make the sacrifice. God said, stop. And then there was a ram. The provision. The real sacrifice. Caught in the thicket. Now that ram was at a specific mountain. God said to Abraham, go to the mountain that I will show you. In other words, he didn't know it in the beginning. He knew he had to pursue a mountain, and when the time comes, God will show him which mountain it is. If he missed the mountain, he would have missed the ram and would have lost his son. Can you see that? We've got to be in the right place at the right time on the right mountain pursuing the things of God if we want the ram, if we want God's provision. You want to find your husband? You want to find your wife? Find her on God's path. Find her in that place. Find him in that place. And you'll be certain that it will be the one. My dad said to me, he passed away 2 years ago, but when I was young, he told me very good advice. He said, Anton, look for your friends where you want them. And by implication, look for your wife where you want her to be. Don't look in the pubs. Don't look in the parties. Look for her inside the kingdom of God as you are pursuing God. Look for her in the cell group, in the praise and worship team, on the mission field. That's where she'll be. Make sure you're there. Make sure you're on God's path. And make sure you listen to God's timing. Not too early. Not too late. Hurry up. Slowly. Amen. Let's pray together. Let's pray. Father, I pray for all of these wonderful young people. And God, I pray that you'll help every single person to do the right thing at the right time. That as each one pursues you and finds you and discovers you and establishes their relationship and first love with you, Lord, that they will all follow your timeline. And that their roads will cross with the right person at the right time on the right mountain. I pray, God, that every flower that has been trampled on, that has been hurt, that is suffering and struggling, be lifted up in the name of Jesus. I pray for every young girl in this place, Lord, for restoration, for beautification, Lord. Even those whose flowers are still intact and wonderful and beautiful, Lord, that I know, God, that your anointing can make a beautiful flower even more beautiful. I pray, Lord, that in this room, from this place, shall come forth the most beautiful woman this city has ever seen. Lord, I pray for the young men, that they shall be gentlemen, that they shall not be opportunists, that they shall be awake, and that you will open their eyes, that they may see the right girl, that they may see the right flower, at the right time. In Jesus' name. Amen. May God bless you all.
For listening to this message from Shofar Christian Church, we believe that it was time well spent establishing God's kingdom and proclaiming His glory in your life. For more information, call us on 012-362-1363 or email us at pretoria@shofaronline.org. You may also wish to browse our website at www.shofaronline.org or find us on facebook.com/shofarpretoria. You, there is